Good morning. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message. Blessed Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word whereby we discern and apply your mind towards us, your people, who have been redeemed by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we enter the new year, Lord, we are reminded of the immense generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you, our God and Father, who sent to earth the most precious of all gifts, which is your Son, who laid down his life for us and has rose again and is now exalted at your right hand, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we ask, Father, that as we receive your will, as it has been revealed in your word, that we who are your people, who are born again and indwelt by your Holy Spirit, would endeavor to obey the will of our everlasting King, who sits on the throne of David forever and ever. We thank you so much that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of your Son, in whom there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Will you now please bless this message for the purpose of our sanctification and for your great glory? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As last Sunday was Christmas Sunday, we did take a break from our series in Philippians in order to study a text related to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we are returning to our series in Philippians, picking up where we left off two Sundays ago in the fourth chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 14 to 19, as we are steadily but surely approaching the end of this great epistle in our series studying this epistle. If you recall from our previous text, the Apostle Paul acknowledged the gift of support that the Philippian church had sent to him through their courier, Epaphroditus. Yet, though he was imprisoned at Rome, Paul did not feel that he really needed their gift, because he had learned that in whatever situation he was in, to be content. Verse 10 to 13, the text that we looked at two Sundays ago. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What was Paul's secret to contentment in any and every circumstance? How could Paul be content given the unpredictability and hardships of his life as an apostle to the Gentiles, traveling far and wide? And the answer, as we learned two Sundays ago, was simply, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If we are in Christ, God will help us to obey and become more like his Son, Jesus Christ. Our sanctification, as we had learned earlier in this series, is a joint effort with God. It is both God's work and our work. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That was back in chapter 2 of Philippians. With the help of God, we are able to do what pleases him, including being content in any and every circumstance. The secret of Paul's contentment was the help of God for obedience. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So with the mighty help of God, the Apostle Paul was content with whatever he had as a prisoner in Rome, whether much or little. He did not feel that he needed the generous gift sent to him by the Philippians. Nonetheless, the Apostle Paul did rejoice in the Lord when the church at Philippi renewed their concern for him. The Philippian church, if you recall, had a history of supporting the Apostle Paul from their earliest days as a church. We learn in Acts that after Paul had planted a church in Philippi, he left Macedonia, which is the region where Philippi is located, in order to minister in the region of Achaia. As our text shows, at that time that he left Macedonia, no church supported him financially except the church at Philippi. In fact, the church at Philippi had supported him as early as his visit to Thessalonica. Verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. And we learn in the book of Acts that Paul went to Thessalonica immediately after his departure from the city of Philippi. So again, the church at Philippi has a history of supporting the Apostle Paul. But for reasons unknown, the church at Philippi had their support of the Apostle Paul interrupted. And after many years elapsed, the church at Philippi learned that Paul was imprisoned at Rome. In response, they renewed their support of him, sending Epaphroditus to that great city of Rome, bearing their generous gift. Paul rejoiced at their renewed concern for him, not because he sought their gift, but because, as we read in today's text, he sought the fruit that increased to their credit. Verse 14 to 17. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Paul was so pleased with the gift that his brothers at Philippi sent him, not because he was thrilled with what they gave him, but because their gift demonstrated genuine love for the body of Christ. And that generous, genuine love was a part of the spiritual fruit which Paul longed in prayer for these saints at Philippi to be filled with. Jump all the way back to chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. This was his prayer for the church at Philippi. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So again, that's why the Apostle Paul was so pleased with their gift. Not that he was thrilled with what they had given him, but because of what their gift indicated, that it was a clear demonstration of the spiritual fruit of love for Christ's church. When believers bear the spiritual fruit of a Christ-like character, God is pleased. And that is because, as we pointed out earlier in this message, our growth in sanctification is both our work and God's work. And that work is for His good pleasure. There, verse 12 to 13 of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. When we tend to our sanctification, our growth into Christ-likeness, we are engaging in a cooperative effort with our Heavenly Father, working together with him. We are doing his work, the most important work we could possibly do. And he rewards our fruitful obedience. Verse 17 of today's text, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Brethren in Christ, our bearing of spiritual fruit increases to our credit. As we were reminded in our previous message in this series 2 weeks ago, bringing forth the fruit of righteousness will be rewarded with heavenly rewards. We're not talking about meriting eternal life, because we know that only Christ merited eternal life for us. What we're talking about is heavenly reward that we receive in addition to all the blessings of eternal life which we have received by grace through faith. So, bringing forth the fruits of righteousness will be rewarded with heavenly rewards. It increases to our credit. And loving generosity towards our brothers in Christ is a major aspect of that fruit of righteousness, as today's text makes clear. In fact, Scripture indicates that when believers give generously, they will be blessed by God. We read in Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. So we have indication that when believers give generously and freely, they are blessed by God. And in keeping with this proverb, our Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6, verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In his commentary on this verse, R.C. Sproul talks about how this description comes from the ancient marketplace. Someone back then could purchase a bushel of grain from the merchant, and the merchant could fill the bushel with just enough grain, barely enough grain to reach the brim of the bushel. Or that merchant could press the grain down and shake the bushel so that he could pack as much grain in there as possible to the point of overflowing. And this is what our Lord Jesus is referring to in Luke 6. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is an encouragement to the people of God for generosity. And so I agree with Dr. Sproul's analysis of this passage. He writes, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you give like that, that's what you'll get back. Jesus was talking about the practical applications of the Christian faith. He was saying, my people are to be generous people. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't love a stingy giver. In fact, stinginess is something that should never be a part of our lives. Now, let me ask you this. How many times have people in your life called you generous? How many times have they called you stingy? Jesus said, I want you to be generous. I want you to give in great measure. And the more you give, the more you'll get, because our God is a generous God and not a stingy God. Brethren in Christ, is that the way we give? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. We ought to do so according to the words of our Lord, because with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. God blesses the willing generosity of his children. Stinginess, in contrast, is to forfeit blessings we could otherwise enjoy. When encouraging the Corinthian church to give generously for the ministry of the saints at Jerusalem, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Brethren in Christ, there is no one more generous, more giving than our Lord Jesus Christ. We know this because he gave his very life for us to secure for us the unfathomable riches of our eternal inheritance. As we read 2 weeks ago in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." And of course, this is referring to eternal wealth, our eternal inheritance that is laid up for us in heaven. So to bear the fruit of a Christ-like character involves the fruit of generosity towards his body, the church. Christ Jesus is so generous to his people, the church. And if we bear the fruit of his character, then we too will be generous. In that passage in 2 Corinthians 9, we saw that those who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully, and that God loves a cheerful giver. The bounty that the generous will reap among his people will not only be eternal rewards, but as we read on in 2 Corinthians 9, we find that it also includes material blessing. This material blessing, of course, is not for gratifying our personal greed, as so many prosperity preachers preach, but for generosity towards the body of Christ. That's why the Lord does it. The measure we give, he gives back for the sake of our generosity to the body of Christ. So we read on 2 Corinthians 9, 10 to 12. "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." That's the reason why he does it. That's why the reason why he blesses our generosity. He enriches us in every way so that we may be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving. We're reading on verse 11. "Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." As we give cheerfully and generously, the Lord will enrich us so that we may continue to give generously to meet the needs of the saints. This does not mean that every believer who gives generously will be blessed with substantial wealth. This is not a guarantee of earthly riches. I think what this means is that the Lord will continue to provide for our needs to the extent that we may continue to be generous according to our means. And this cycle of giving and receiving is confirmed in today's text as we read on in verse 18 to 19. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Philippians gave generously to supply Paul's needs as a prisoner in Rome. And now God would supply every need of theirs. He would do so, as we read in verse 19, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God's generosity would supply the Philippian believers with unfathomable, eternal riches in Christ. A God who is that generous could be expected to supply every need of theirs in the present life so that they may continue to give liberally for the good of Christ's body. As John MacArthur writes in his commentary on Philippians, is it Philippians or 2 Corinthians? You know what? I'm not sure where the source is. It might have been Philippians or 2 Corinthians. But let me go ahead and read his commentary. The reason God gives back to those who give is not, as prosperity teachers falsely imply and exemplify, so people can consume it on their own desires with bigger cars, homes, and jewels. God supplies them so they will have an abundance for every good deed. The Lord will fully supply cheerful givers with what they need to use for what is good work to the honor of the Lord. He constantly replenishes what they expend, so the cycle of giving and ministering to others can continue. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's from his commentary on 2 Corinthians, not Philippians. It's a typo in the transcript. Our text tells us that God regarded the generosity of the Philippian church to be a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Earlier in this series, we had learned that presenting our bodies to God is a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to Him, and that this is what spiritual worship consists of. Presenting our entire bodies with all of our various parts to God as instruments of His righteousness. We read in Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And what that entails is clarified for us if we jump back to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So what is spiritual worship? It's presenting our entire bodies to God for His glory and service. How do we present our entire bodies to God for His glory and service? We present each and every member of our bodies to Him as instruments for righteousness. Is a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we read in today's text that God also regards the generous giving of the believers to the body of Christ as an acceptable sacrifice to Him as well. Elsewhere in Scripture, we are told that to share what we have, along with doing good and honoring the Lord through the way that we speak, is a sacrifice pleasing to God. This is Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. sharing what we have, doing good, honoring the Lord in the way that we speak. These are sacrifices that are pleasing to God. When believers engage in these deeds. Brethren in Christ, God loves a cheerful giver. And those who give to Him receive back from Him blessing and reward, both in eternity and also in the present. Let us then sow bountifully so that we will reap bountifully. Stingy giving, reluctant giving, giving that is done out of compulsion with a grumbling, close-fisted attitude is of no benefit to us and displeases the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. So instead, let us give with good measure, pressing down, shaken together, and running over, as the words of our Lord Jesus reminds us in Luke 6, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let's pray. Blessed Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness and mercy and generosity towards us, which is unfathomable, immeasurable. For through Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you sent, who came willingly to give up his life for us, to the humiliation and suffering of the cross, so that all who place their faith in him may receive an eternal inheritance as sons of the living God, adopted as children of God through faith in him. And seeing, Lord God, the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ and your generosity towards your church, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we too, in the likeness of our Lord, bearing the good spiritual fruit of his character, may also be generous towards our fellow brethren in Christ, that we would be known to be generous people, not giving out of compulsion, not giving with a grumbling heart and a closed-fisted attitude, but freely, as we have freely received from you out of your grace. Because as your word tells us, you love a cheerful giver, and our fruit increases to our credit. It is a wonderful thing to bear spiritual fruit, the fruit of the likeness of the character of your Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth. Because not only, as your word teaches us, do we receive a heavenly reward for our fruitfulness, but we also receive blessing. And as we have learned today, that the generous amongst your children receive blessing here on this earth, so that through the blessing you bestow on us, that we would use that blessing to bless others. Oh, help us to do so, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.